Live and local with Monica Jay on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, bringing it to you straight and bringing it to you honest. This coronavirus update brought to you by Real Construction. Looking at the United States so far, how many millions of people we have here in the United States, coronavirus cases are 385,839, looking at the numbers. So far, over 12,000 people have passed. As we look at what's going on here in the state of Nevada, not so densely populated, we've got 2,087 cases, positive cases, 58 deaths. And here in Washoe County, 4 deaths with active cases, active corona cases at 247. So you look at the numbers. I know people hate going by the numbers, but you look at the numbers. And it's not as scary as people make it out to be by having idiots in New York City say if there's an overflow, we're going to temporarily bury people in the city parks. Are you kidding me? 24/7 availability. If you need your home or business secured from vandalism or looters, which is a very real possibility because of everything that's been shut down, and we do have criminals, Real Construction can handle the job for you. If you're concerned about your business, call 359-0700. One of my main concerns, because I have so many family members that have participated in the military, is our veterans. And I'm so glad to bring you our interview right now with some pretty fabulous, pretty hardworking people right now from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Let's check in with Nikki Wisner. Now, Nikki is the VA telehealth program manager, and we have Dr. McGee, who is also practicing and doing the day-to-day thing with our vets to make sure that they are healthy and that they can get the services they need through telehealth. I know this is something that is new to a lot of people, but I wish we had had it going a lot years and years ago, because we could have saved a lot of headaches for our veterans, especially out in the rural areas. At Nikki, Dr. McGee, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Dr. McGee, I'm going to throw the first question out to you. Telehealth medicine by video conference is so wonderful. But you get in a lot of cases, you know, it's the whole, not to make too much fun of it, but teaching an old dog new tricks. And we have a lot of our veterans who haven't, you know, taken on the technology aspect. How are they dealing out in the rurals with seeing you when they're used to seeing you in person, seeing you in this video conference now?
You know, they're all fine. They love it. They're early adapters. I've had at least 4 or 5 veterans well into their 90s, you know, just doing this without any problems. You know, this is, we need to get more doctors on board, and we need to get patients, I think.
That sounds pretty great. Now, when people are dealing with veterans, though, who are especially out in their homes or coming through telehealth, is it the veterans, or do a lot of these vets have caretakers that you're also dealing with?
Yes, of course. And there are other systems involved. We call it telehealth, where there's monitoring systems at home for blood pressure, weights, oxygen level, that sort of thing. And it's all kind of integrated together.
Okay, so let me ask you this. And I'm going to put a personal story in here, because my father is a veteran. He's a former Marine, also Air Force, but my mother is his caretaker, and he needed nutritional supplement, but he had to have what they call the, you know, looking into his health and actually looking at him. When you are looking at someone on a health screen, are you able to see the sores or the color of the patient? You know, do they look peaked? How does that work for you?
It works great. You know, sometimes there's some interference and the screen isn't as clear as it sometimes might be. And it's, you know, we're talking about today, but we're talking about the near future. Well, we'll have patients can have Bluetooth attachments, you know, for stethoscopes and otoscopes and things like that. Ooh. And so we can expand, you know, doctors' reach, so to speak, electronically. You know, and that's, you know, that's the future we should all embrace, I think.
You know, even not being a vet, I would love to have that ability in my home. I think it takes so much, or what do you think? Doesn't matter what I think. Do you think that this takes a load of stress off of the healthcare system when you're able, you don't have people sitting in waiting rooms and, you know, actually in the offices?
Absolutely, but it also takes stress off a patient. You might have a 32-year-old young mother who's a bank executive two miles away from the VA here, who doesn't want to take the whole afternoon off just to go see the doctor for 20 minutes. You know, and she may have to pick up her kids at a daycare at 4. You know, that's what we're here to serve veterans as our center, you know, not make it that convenient, not make it dominant convenience for the doctors necessarily.
Have you run into any problems with the telehealth so far that you would like to see fixed or corrected in the future, or really even just the advancement of what they're doing?
It's going in the right direction. Of course, within the VA, everything is very HIPAA compliant, confidential. That's mm-hmm. not true out in the community where, you know, like my wife up at the University Health Service has to use Zoom for a lot of her telemedicine, and that's not very secure. And so we need to advance all our platforms so it is secure. And like I said, we need to bring in all these Bluetooth attachments and stuff. You can get a dermatology attachment that will make the lesion look 10 times bigger than you can look at it yourself if you're in the office. And you look, you know, look at eardrums, you know, it's 20 times bigger than you look at it, you know, through the otoscope in the office. So, you know, there are a lot of advantages doing it that way.
Well, I found some even interesting things at, say, the Discovery Museum for the kids. I was able to put my hand into something and it showed my vascular system. So there has to be just all kinds of ways that it can be improved in the future. And like you said, make it easier on the patients, because stress has a lot to do with ailment, doesn't it?
I would say just 80%.
Oh, that's just that much. Well, and it's good, you know, as long as we can keep our veterans in great care like you give them, and relaxing still in the comfort of their own home so they don't have to travel. Say if you're coming from Elko, that's got to be a lot of stress on the system.
Sure. You know, I've done video visits with patients on the road with their smart device, you know, driving down the road, and I can see the lesion on their skin, that sort of thing. I mean, it's there's all sorts of options here to make it easier for the veteran.
And I love that, and hopefully easier for everybody in the future. Well, Dr. McGee, you have a lot to do today. You've got patients to see and talk to, so I thank you for your time. I'm gonna let you go, and I'm gonna check in with Nikki Wisner now, who can take us through the program of getting it set up and all that. So, Dr. McGee, thank you so much for your expertise in joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for your time, ma'am.
Nikki, thank you so much for joining us on the show to help us understand, how long has the VA been working on rolling telehealth out? How many years has it been now?
You know, I think it's been probably about 10 years that we've been working on telehealth throughout the country, perhaps a bit longer in some areas.
Is it rolling out? It probably rolled out to the bigger areas before it did to the rurals. Is that correct? Or were they trying to do it all at the same time?
I think the rollout came pretty much all over the country at the same time. Each facility is mandated to have a position like mine, the facility telehealth coordinator, and telehealth clinical technicians on site to assist with the telehealth that happens between clinics, as well as help with setting up veterans in their homes.
So walk me through the process. What do you do? Does the veteran just call in and say, you know, I live out here, or I don't feel well enough to come in? What is the process?
Well, I think it could be guided by either the veteran or the clinician. We definitely have some clinicians who are major champions for telehealth within our healthcare system. And then we also do have veterans who have heard about it. It's been marketed quite widely. There was some national commercials through T-Mobile with their partnership with the VA. So when a veteran does request care through telehealth, we can note that, and our schedulers have become really familiar with how to schedule those telehealth appointments. And at this point, all of our providers have been assigned training on how to provide telehealth into the home.
So what is the percentage of veterans that actually use it right now, especially here? I mean, because you're for our area. In our area, what's the percentage of veterans that are using it?
Well, I think off the top of my head, I think our numbers were about 15% of all of our enrolled veterans in the VA had used it in 2019 at the end of the fiscal year. I believe that number is going to shoot through the roof this year with the initiatives to keep people at home and well. We've just in March alone, we grew by 600% compared to last March with VA Video Connect, also referred to as VVC, which provides care to the veteran wherever they have a smartphone or a PC.
I think that's fabulous because, you know, to be able to keep people out of certain areas, because I tell you from my personal experience, I know when I go to the doctor and I'm sitting in the waiting room out in the chairs, when I get up and go into the back, I don't see somebody come out and clean everything, you know, where I was sitting. So it's horrible to go to the doctor for one thing and then you come out with something else. But Nikki, I know you're busy and you've got a lot of things to do, but will you hang on the line with us for just a few minutes? I got to take a quick commercial break, but there are other questions I want to ask you about how this is going to move forward. So Nikki Weisner, Program Manager for VA Telehealth, will be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Get more Monica in your life. Go to 99.1fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. We're bringing you the future right now as we talk once again with Nikki Weisner, who is the VA Telehealth Program Manager, and to Dr. McGee with the Veterans Administration or the Veterans Affairs and Hospital here. And wow, I love this technology. Nikki, as we continue on with talking about the program, what units and departments are embracing the telehealth and coming further in this?
Really all over the health system, we're growing quickly. We've got several different types of telehealth. We have clinical video telehealth, which provides care from one facility out to our C-Box, which are in our rural communities. We have store and forward, which is taking an image and having it reviewed by a provider, and that's available in the clinic at all of our locations. And then we have the VA Video Connect, which is to the home, which I mentioned earlier, and we've got a huge growth. I know that we've grown in dermatology in all three of those areas, and several specialties, primary care and mental health, have all grown immensely with telehealth into the home. And we're even doing group visits with our veterans who are missing out on that, on those face-to-face interactions with other veterans.
Well, and it makes such a difference, especially in the mental health aspect. If you're dealing with PTSD, you want to hear those other stories. You want to know you're not alone. So this, I see, could end, well, I'm not going to be that optimistic, but this could actually slow the number immensely of our veterans who are committing suicide if they know that they can talk with someone this way.
Yeah, I agree. We've got, and veterans who may not have access or be willing to come to the main facility because of traffic or because they're busy working, are able on their lunch break to sit in their car and have therapy, or to be in their pajamas on their couch where they're most comfortable and able to receive that therapy.
Yeah, we're seeing more and more every day that there are veterans out there who don't have vehicles, who are homeless and maybe in a facility somewhere. So for them to be able to access this health is so important. Now, what is the setup for people that, and what is keeping people back from participating in this? Is it strictly financial coming from the federal government level, or is it people just don't know that they're eligible?
You know, I think we've been doing a fairly decent job in promoting, but I think it is still something that maybe some veterans are not aware of. We do actually offer iPads to veterans who are going to be using VA Video Connect services more than every 60 days and meet a couple other guidelines. Veterans who do not have access to a PC or to a smartphone, that could potentially be a barrier, but we're able to address that through iPads. And sometimes they can make arrangements with caregivers. When the libraries are open, people can receive care in a private space at libraries or other agencies. I even heard a story of a veteran who lived in a rural community who made an arrangement with a large animal veterinarian to use one of their offices for care. So I think that the barriers are quickly being removed.
Definitely. Well, there's always a barrier, and what people are thinking, and that's money. Is there any cost to veterans to participate in this?
Well, the wonderful thing is that for some veterans, it actually is cheaper to, if a veteran has a copay for a face-to-face visit, as an incentive to grow VA Video Connect, there is no copay associated with that service.
That is fantastic. I love hearing stuff like that. I'd like to bring Dr. McGee back in for a quick question here. When we were talking about departments earlier, is it feasible, Dr. McGee, to do urgent care with this type of technology?
Well, actually, I'm part of an initiative to do that within our VISN meaning Northern Nevada, California, Hawaii, where we're offering after-hours urgent care telemedicine. And the call center is out of San Francisco, but they'll be able to reach providers all over, including myself. And I'm just getting set up this week to do all this at my home. And I'm very, you know, I'm a retired ER doc. I'm very comfortable with emergent care, and it's, you know, it's the wave of the future. It's what we have to do.
It really is. And, you know, Dr. McGee, being honest, when do emergencies happen? You know, it's not always between 9 and 5. You know, it just doesn't work that way. So I have to thank you for being a part of this and being a champion of it. And Nikki, thank you so much for also taking on the responsibility. And I hope to have you back both very soon. Maybe even we can set something up for next week, because of the technology that we're going through. I think there's so much more that we can actually get into to help our veterans here in Northern Nevada, because they are not only so precious to us, but they are a growing number as well. So Nikki Wisner, the VA Telehealth Program Manager here in Northern Nevada, and Dr. McGee, thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope to speak to you again very shortly.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. It's the Monica Jay Show, keeping it live and local for all of Northern Nevada and making sure you have the information that you need to live a happy, healthy, safe, and strong life. Let's get the latest from Fox News on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, radio, 99.1, KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, live and local FM Talk at 884-9910. And, of course, Monica at 991fmtalk.com. Answer today's poll question. I'd appreciate some help on this one. Do you trust the national media? Do you trust them? Yes, no, or if you have an answer other than that that you'd like to provide, just click other. Yesterday's poll question, thank you for participating. Lots of interesting answers. Will you get the CVD-19 vaccine when it's released? 20% just flat out yes. 17% of those participating said no. 13% said no way, especially after watching the swine flu. 7% said, that's a crapshoot for sure. Follow the VA's advice, I suppose. 3% said, I can't say yet. Okay. We're going to follow that because, you know, they're working on the virus or they're working on the vaccine. A number of companies already coming up with something they say looks very plausible for the future. But then again, aren't we all just guinea pigs in this thing called life? I need your help on something. This just reminded me, since for me, for my husband and I, for our household, today is trash day. Got the can outside. So this comes from Alberto at Monica at 991fmtalk.com. Hello, Monica. I'm curious as to what the public thinks about waste management, reducing their pickup services. My service consists of one bin provided by waste management and 6 additional bags. However, during this time, collectors are not picking up the additional bags and the transfer stations are closed. The reasoning behind not picking up the additional bags is to reduce the risk of trash collectors by not having them leave their vehicles. But it is not my experience that many trash collectors come into regular close contact with the public during their duties. I suppose I understand a risk with touching bags that residents have touched, but that is what gloves are for. Grocery stores, hardware stores, warehouses, and other businesses are continuing regular operations with safeguards in place to reduce risk. Why can't waste management do the same? I'm in the middle of cleaning up an acre's worth of yard waste, and with nowhere to dump my leaves and grass, the only dump open is in Sparks. I live in Dayton. They'll charge me for dumping. I'm paying the same monthly bill for reduced services, And if I decide to drive to where I can dump my waste, I'll be charged. I don't believe there are any private businesses that can give you less service and still charge the same. I sent an email to my county commissioner requesting that he and the board encourage waste management to resume their regular services. Am I crazy to think this way, or does my concern have some merit? Just curious to what the rest of the listeners think. Love your show. Have a great day. Stay happy, stay healthy, and may the Lord be with you and all of us during this time of uncertainty. Alberto, thank you so much for the email. You as well. Stay happy and healthy with your family. I'm going to have Kendra Kolonowski, who is the PIO for Waste Management, I'm going to have her on the show to address this, because I think this is kind of ridiculous that there's no reason why waste management, why drivers can't get out of the truck and throw the bags in. There's no reason. If you want to be even extra precautions, give them all a can of Lysol and have them spray the bags down before they pick them up. I don't get people's reasoning. I don't get this whole essential, non-essential. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for waste management to say, you don't have to pick the bags up. And by the way, I love saying your name, so I'm going to roll it again, Alberto. Your line, I don't believe that there are many or any private businesses that can give you less service and still charge the same. Yeah, Amazon. I'm still paying for, you know, Prime membership. And trust me, I do not get things in 2 days. Are we going to see a discount on the Prime memberships? I doubt seriously. And I doubt seriously if waste management is going to come back and say, hey, we're not going to charge you for this. Now think about this. You're forced to stay home. What do? To keep yourself busy and active? You go out and you do yard work. You're generating more trash. You should be able to put it curbside. People are taking advantage of this situation that we are in this uncertainty that we are in. And it really is despicable. It is once again showing us what companies' priorities are. Because how much faster do you think the route goes if the drivers don't have to get out of the trucks and handle bags of trash? Goes a lot faster. No overtime. People get in, get it done, get in, get out. And it leaves you holding the bag. Literally. The consumer who is paying for all this lack of service. So we'll book Kendra for tomorrow and get a straight answer from waste management of what their reasoning is behind this. And if you've run into this situation, please, 884-9910 as well. Let's go to the phone lines and check in with Ryan this morning. Wants to talk about the captain of the Roosevelt. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Monica. First, that's a good idea to have the person that used the head monopoly of waste management on the air tomorrow. Because we're paying, they're charging us the full freight, and we're not getting the full service. Something doesn't smell right with that. So it's good you're going to have her on so we can ask her a question saying, you know, why are you doing this and this and this?
Well, we'll get what we can from Kendra, but remember, yeah. she's the public information officer, so
you know. Oh, yeah.
Even she's not privy to everything. She just has to put a good face on it.
Yeah, but my biggest thing is, like, I didn't like what, I mean, the captain of the USS Roosevelt, I think he got rolled over royally very huge. Because there's no JAG investigation. There should have been a JAG investigation for what he was trying to do. He was trying to do, like, the doctors in China were trying to warn that, you know, trying to get to the chain command, hey, listen, my ship has corn on it. Somebody, let's do something about it. And they weren't doing it. So he said, okay, we don't want to do that. Then I have to go outside of the chain of command. I have to get this out there to the public. Let people know what's going on. And he got rolled over just like the doctor in China got rolled over before that doctor in China died about the corona in China.
Ryan,
you're absolutely
correct. But this is what happens when you have total government control over something. I mean, look at even here at home with Sisolak. Really? There's going to be consequences if you have Easter dinner with more than just your direct family members? People don't like the truth getting out. And that holds true for the government as well. You know, when you sign that oath, my great uncle worked for the Air Force for years. You ask him about Area 51, he would actually get very upset with you. You sign an oath, you take a pledge, and you stand by it. But for those who are courageous enough that when people's lives are at stake, I stand behind you. I salute you. Because you know what? America is not China. Actually, Ryan, remember there were three doctors. One has died in China. Two are missing. You're not going to hear that from the Chinese propaganda machine. That actually had to come from real reporters in Australia. Bringing that forward. We're not getting the truth about everything. And we probably won't afterwards either. But it's up to the American people to stand together and stand firm and say, you guys are out of control. You're lying to us about this. You're not being honest. You're not giving us the full story. And you're creating panic along with the media, which just makes everything worse. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Stanley this morning. Stanley, oh, we lost Stanley. Sorry about that, Stanley. He wanted to speak about the Nevada Attorney General, which, don't get me started on him. Ford is just a joke. And we were trying to get open meeting laws. We're trying to get records. Didn't give anything out. Since what, October or whatnot? Let's go back to the phone lines and check in with Joseph this morning. Joseph wants to talk about Democrats in Nevada. Hey, Joseph.
The country just to kind of, maybe people need to pay attention. Like in New Jersey, you can't go from one town to the other because of the COVID. They're telling you that. In L.A., the mayor down there is telling you, he's telling people to rattle their neighbors, and then they'll get a reward if they do. I mean, yeah. I've been trying to tell people for quite a while. These people are communists. That's the way they are, and it's really coming out now. That's exactly what they used to do in the Soviet Union, and it's just and old Sadsack, the old governor here. You listen to his voice, his tone of voice. I mean, he is not friendly at all. Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, it's you will do it or else, you know, and I got news for that boy. He can stick it where the sun doesn't shine. If he tried to tell me to do something, I'd tell him where's, you know, not going to do that, you know. You know, I come from a pioneer family.
You know, Joseph, I'm right there with you, and I'm wondering, you know, if he says there's going to be consequences of this, you know, I'd like to hear from the officers who are going to take the directive or the National Guard or, you know, any law enforcement that's going to go break up a church service or go break up an Easter dinner because their neighbors have ratted on them.
Need to talk. Gotta talk.
A socialist country. We're just seeing the extent of it right now.
Well, the Communist Party USA is in full bloom, and it's used to be the Democrats, and they've just gone that way. And it's, I mean, all I have to do is listen to Fancy Nancy or Chucky Schmucky. I mean, they're these people.
I try to as little as possible because it just hurts my brain to actually hear that stuff. But Joseph, thank you so much for the call, and thanks for
keeping
an eye out, and make sure you share it with your neighbors and. Just always bring the truth. Hey, we're going to be right back after this. And Stanley, stay on the line this time. We'll be right back with you. On 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Nevada's news. Talk about it here. Call 884-9910. 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT. KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Boys of summer, it'll be summer soon enough. Can't wait for it. This coronavirus update brought to you by Real Construction. And I'm going to shorten down the numbers for you a little bit because they're everywhere. All right. So for the U.S., just over 386,000 cases of coronavirus. But over the United States, 12,275 deaths, mostly California, New Jersey. Follow the numbers because you can see exactly what is going on. For the state of Nevada, just over 2,000 cases, and we've only seen 58 deaths. Here in Washoe County, we've only seen 4 deaths. And people are recovering. And you can recover too, as long as you make sure you let the real pros handle your insurance-related reconstruction needs. Go to realconstructioncompany.com or call 359-0700. As we continue on, just a couple of quick things. The waste management email from Alberto that I read just a few minutes ago. Ryan wrote in. They didn't pick up my bags today. Cough, cough, union, cough, cough. Thank you, Ryan. I guess I didn't have all the appropriate answers on our poll question today. Do you trust the national media? So Brian sent me this quickly. A simple yes-no wasn't a sufficient number of choices for this question. Maybe a third choice should have been hell no. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. But that's what we have the other button for. When you hit the other button, you can put in whatever you want. Interesting concept. After this is all said and done, this is coming from Breitbart. We need a Nuremberg trial for Chinese leaders over the coronavirus. I would be okay with that. Do you think that Red China, that Communist China, is really going to allow that to happen, or the UN would allow that to happen? The World Health Organization? Yeah. They've got China's back. Trust me. You're not going to see that. Real quickly from Skip. Hi, Monica. Lousy service for years. No competition. My driver has not completely emptied my trash can most times. Time is not given to empty the can, no matter how it is loaded. I have complained to head office to no avail. I believe I would get better service from a band of roving gypsies. Take care. You too, Skip. Thanks for the email. This is just something you have to take to heart, truly. We are in an election cycle. You cannot let the left control the narrative from here on out. the things that we have seen, that we have experienced since Trump was duly elected, should disgust you. If you are a Democrat, if you are that patriot that you say that you are, that patriotic person, then you should be disgusted as well. And I know there are a number of them because they're switching parties. This is about America, our dream of an honest government. But it is so overblown and inefficient now that we're not going to see that until we push back. Somebody sent me an email last night. What can we do? You have to push back. I'm not encouraging civil war. I'm not embracing civil war. I don't want to see that happen. But you know what? Civil wars don't happen just because of Second Amendment rights. Civil wars happen because of complete takeover. Because of lies. Because of misrepresentations. What do you think is going on right now? It's the Monica Jay Show. I love you, and I hope you're back tomorrow on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.